Turn your Bible to Psalm 63. I'm going to read the whole of 63, which is 11 verses. I want to speak a message today called Being Occupied with God. And I want you to really put that into your heart and ask yourself this question. Yourself. Ask it to yourself. I ask this question to myself all the time. Am I totally, completely committed to being occupied with God? Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you in a dry and thirsty land with no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul will be satisfied with the marrow and the fatness, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed and meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul clings hard to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my soul to destroy it will go into the lower parts of the earth. They will fall by the sword. They will be a portion for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory, because the mouth of liars will be stopped. David wrote this psalm while he was in the wilderness. And in studying out this psalm, and if you care to do it, it would really help you to do it. Many, many people, writers of old and even today, the modern theologians today believe that Psalm 63 encapsulates the whole of the Bible in these 11 verses. And it's very unique when you look at this in that arena or in that site or that thought pattern, drawing the whole of the Bible. If you wanted to say something about a comparison to that, you would think then the book of Romans is like taking the whole New Testament and putting it into the book of Romans. Psalm 63 is encapsulating, bringing together the thoughts of the Bible for God's love for you and I, and for our love for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The wilderness was barren, desolate place where he was deprived of the comforts of home. I want you to think of that spiritually today, your own life. We live in America. We don't live in the wilderness. We live in the Bay Area. We don't live in a wilderness. We're talking about his heart right now, his position. It's stark. It's in a wilderness. He feels desolate. And he's exposed to bad weather and hostile enemies. And I want you to spiritualize that and think about it for a second, about our own lives sometimes, where we wake up. And we may have gone to sleep feeling plenty, feeling alive, feeling wholesome. Something happens. And all of a sudden, we are in the wilderness. We're desolate. We feel deprived of our comforts. We're exposed to the bad weather of life. The storms are hitting, and our enemies become even more hostile. They become louder in our ears and in our mind. We become to a place where it's difficult to worship. I was thinking the other day about this when I was preparing my heart for this message, when the Lord dropped this scripture into my heart so deeply, which was the opening verse of Psalm 63. And then also he had me highlight verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Verse 6, when I remember you on my bed and meditate on you in the night watches. Verse 8, my soul clings hard to you, your right hand upholds me. Those four verses were part of this in my heart so deeply. And I began to think about when you know, humoristically, you talk to other ministers of the gospel or people that you're close to, whether they're a minister or not, but they're people of prayer or worship, and they say, don't ever ask me to pray after I've eaten, because I'm too full to pray. Don't you know, I'm just so full, if I lay down on my stomach, I'm going to roll over off the top of it because it's so big. Or I'm just not going to be able to concentrate on prayer because I'm so full. Or when you're so tired, have done so much, physically and mentally tired, that when you begin to pray, the next thing you know, you're snoring. You're not concentrating because you can't focus. But in the wilderness, you kind of compare that with all the others. And there are times even when you're full or when you're weary, you need to pray. You need to worship. You need to sit before God. And if not anything, meditate Him. Now, you know, prayer is where you communicate to God, where you speak to God. Meditation is where you listen to God when He's speaking into your heart. And last night, it was late at night, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning. I was just sitting in my chair after a long day of just things everywhere. And I began just to meditate on the Lord and His goodness, His graciousness, His grace. The focus of God's grace in our life is awesome. None of us today, nobody, by the sound of my voice, those that may listen to this digitally when I place this up on the site where it goes, no one deserved to be saved. God's grace, His unmerited favor, came into our life. And by faith, we received it and we are saved. And it's a gift from God, lest we should boast, saying, look what I have done. God loves us when we were yet in sin. Jesus hung on a cross, an old rugged cross, which touches my heart even today. And I know yours also. When we were yet in sin, He died for us. If He didn't rise on that third day in a bodily resurrection, completely, spiritually, and physically, we wouldn't have salvation today. If He wasn't interceding for us in heaven, I just don't know how we could get through this life. Because I believe that you need the Holy Spirit in your life every day. I don't know how anybody can make it without having the Holy Spirit in their life. I don't know how they do it. I don't want to know how they do it. I just believe how important it is to realize that what you have, as I've mentioned so many times from this platform and other platforms where you've heard me speak, is that we are the vessels carrying around the treasures of life for others to receive. I know it sounds pretty crazy to say this, but you know, it's not about you or I. It's about Jesus, and it's about who we can share to those people. And I know people can be pretty hard to share Jesus to. I mean that. Let me give you an example. I did a funeral over in San Lorenzo years ago, and some of you were there. And it was a funeral of the mother of one of the people that attended our church, that her mother had passed, and yet she was connected to an outlaw motorcycle club, namely the Hells Angels. And they all showed up for the funeral from Oakland. It's about 25 of them, not all of them, but about 25 of them showed up to the funeral, and they were in the back drinking whiskey and in the back of the sanctuary lighting up cigarettes. I had to go back there and say, we can't do this in here, take it out in the parking lot. And I spoke the gospel. I presented the presentation of Jesus Christ with salvation included. Everything's fine. Well, we went over to this individual's home and her husband's home in Hayward. And we had what they would call a wake or an after service dinner or whatever. And I walked out to the front porch. And this is what happened. One of the leaders of the Hells Angels saw me walking out the front door, and he looked at me and he said, we were in your house. Now you're in our house. So preacher, XXX. I don't want to hear the word. Well, I grew up with them, so I knew exactly what that meant. So I said, agreed. And I just turned around and went back in the house. Point is, don't ever stop sharing the gospel. I had already shared it with them. They have denied it. There will be people that you give the gospel to, they will deny it. They will not want to receive it because their minds are not renewed. Their hearts are full of sin. And Jesus came to renew our minds and to forgive our hearts of sin and set us free from the bondages of life that hold us back from worshiping Him. And what we don't want to do is we do not want to let a wilderness experience hold us back from worshiping God. I know I just took you full circle in a story there to bring you to that one point. We do not want that to happen. The things that we go through in themselves are enough to make the wilderness a very troubling and trying experience. Some of you that I'm looking at and others that I minister to throughout the week and people that I know across this nation that contact me, people that we just spent weeks with back east, they are in wilderness experiences as we speak. Some of you have come out of your wilderness experiences. But the key effect is that we must look back to where we were in an experience, and we have to ask ourselves the question, did we worship God through the wilderness? It's very difficult. I'm not here to say to you it's as easy as pie. Don't worry about it. Boy, when you're going through a struggle and it seems that you're just so down, you're depressed, tears have become your food, you can't hardly do anything, you can't concentrate, going to work's a struggle more than it normally is, you're not able to focus at work, you come home, you don't even want to be around people, you want to be alone, you want to turn the lights off in a bright room, you want to close the curtains because you're that low, and you're it's difficult, but it's not impossible. Because even if it's a praise, Father, I love you. I know what I'm going through is awful, but I know that without you, it would be worse. That's right, amen. To seek Him and to understand that you know, David had so many reasons not to praise. Everybody was after him. Everybody just wanted to kind of hurt him. Everybody, he found it very difficult sometimes to be hiding in caves and do the stuff. But while he was in the wilderness, he declared, Psalm 27, one thing I desire, that I could get to the house of God, that I could get to the altars and inquire of the Lord. No one wants to stay in the wilderness. Even though He's the God of the mountain, the God of the valley, and the God of the wilderness, no one wants to stay in those places. We all want the throne room experience every day. Every day, we want to be that way. We have to understand as we go through these experiences that there is a reason for us to praise, and that is because of God's love in our life. Because of God's grace in our life, because of God's abundant kindness and His abundant goodness, and most of all, because of His mercy. God, who is rich in mercy, when we were yet in sin. We have to understand something, that he is wealthy. It's not about just a cow on a thousand hills or the cattle on a thousand hills. It's not about he owns everything. It's about his relationship with you. Do you know that he takes his relationship with you personally? When he thinks about you or I, he thinks about me, he thinks about, it's a personal thing. He says, I love Maureen. He says, I love Becky. I love Robin. I love Shauna. I can go through the congregation and say out all the names right now, so don't feel like I've missed you. I'm just saying that he loves you more than your words can describe. You cannot draw a picture of God's love. Oh, yes, you can. Forgive me for saying that. I was wrong. You want to draw a picture of God's love? Draw a picture of Jesus dying on a cross. He loves us. He cares for us. He's willing to do all that he can. And this is why this psalm was such a great, when he wrote this, it was such a great and tremendous help to him. What we've got to notice here, David occupied himself. He occupied himself with God while he was in the wilderness. That's what he did. He literally did that. And what we have to understand is the more that we occupy with God, the more praise that's going to come out of our lips. The farthest we stay away from God, the more reasons we can give for not praising. I just don't have it in me today. I don't really want to praise today. I don't know if I should praise today. I just wish everybody would leave me alone. Well, the reason people don't leave you alone when you're in the wilderness is because they want to try to lift up your hands while you're there. They want to try to bring you into that place of worship and praise because they realize, and you realize also, that when you're in that wilderness, praise and worship is the healing of your wilderness experience. It's where you feel good about everything. And you find out where the heart of God is as he follows his children, and how bearable the trials can be when God is on our side. Amen. You know, just to skip into the New Testament here real quick, one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible is found in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. It's an amazing thing how it goes, and it's a wonderful understanding. He says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will boast in my weaknesses that the power of Christ rests upon me. So I take pleasure in weakness, in reproaches, in hardships, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Wow. In other words, if it's bad, I'm still going to praise. I'm going to take pleasure and I'm going to praise no matter how I feel, no matter what it's like, even if it's hard to put on my shoes to get to church, or even if it's hard to start the engine or to call for a ride, I'm going to make those decisions because I choose to praise God. And when I enter his house, I make a choice and I will praise the Lord, the Bible says, because I choose to do that. I don't choose to go to the house of God and not praise. I don't choose to get into a round of prayer meeting and not pray. I don't choose it. I'm going to choose to praise God because I believe, church, and you believe this. I'm reminding you, this is a reminder message of the things you already know and what you believe and how you are experiencing God, is that that praise brings inner healing to your life. You know, it's a really difficult prayer for me to pray. Very difficult. Struggled with it now for 42 years. It's a simple prayer. Father, I thank you for letting your only begotten Son die for me. That's a tough prayer. I thank you that you gave your best for your worst. I thank you that you gave what was so precious to you to a dark earth full of sin that we would confess his name and be saved. How simple it is to be saved. Now listen, how simple is it to get out of the wilderness? When you gave your heart to the Lord, you said, Father, I believe you. I believe Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and I accept Jesus into my heart, and I repent of my sins right now. In the wilderness, God, I know I'm going through something right now. I'm desolate. I'm dry. I'm weary. There's no water. I can't even get a drink. I can't get a drink of the Holy Spirit, in other words. I can't even feel the Spirit around me. But you know what, God? I'm going to believe your word. Because what I have with me right now is the knowledge that your word is the only pure thing in my life and in this world. And I'm going to believe that word. And that word is going to cause me to praise you. That word is designed that I would read it and know. Let's look at David's life, and I'm just not going to go through everything, but just real quick. Son of Jesse, older brothers. He's out in the field. He's got the dirty work. His brothers are all inside the house. He's out there taking care of the sheep. Now, you know, taking care of sheep is not the best, cleanliest job that one can have. And sheep do have an odor about them, by the way. And, you know, there's a lot of, when you're there, okay, I'm going to get a little pastoral on you, and some of you that understand this in the pastoral ministry will get a kick out of this. When you're pastoring, there's a lot of sheep and there's a lot of baa all the time. Baa, this is wrong. Baa, baa, baa. Oh, pastor, baa, baa, baa. And we just look at that as a sound of rejoicing. Amen.
Amen.
He's out there. He's listening to all those sheep. Man, they're needing more food. Come, here comes a lion. He kills the lion. Here comes the bear. He kills the bear. He protects his sheep. He's out there just kind of there hanging out. He comes in and he gets anointed as a young teenage boy to be the king. Wow. Samuel said, nope, 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 nope. Do you have any more sons? Yes, one out the field. Go get him. He comes in and God says, that's the one. That's the one. He goes into a life of being recluse. No one hears from him for a while. He goes back out there now and he just got anointed a king. And, you know, he's out there and bah, bah, and all this is going on. He's in the arid sun. Things are going on out there. And he starts just going through his life. He begins to grow. And then all of a sudden he grows up into the king. And then Saul hates him. Saul wants to destroy him. I mean, he's used of God in between that point and Saul. I mean, he killed Goliath. And he had the boldness. You see, when you give your heart to the Lord, guess what happens to you? You get a boldness. You're bold. You're outspoken. You're not sheepish any longer. Your bad becomes a worship. Your ability to pray for others is there. Amen. You don't join the others in the bad. You come in and say, hey, I got a better word than bah. It's worship him, praise God. Amen. Then all of a sudden, he becomes so popular, everybody loves him more than Saul, and Saul wants to kill him. David had a chance to kill him, but David had the knowledge of God. I can't touch the anointed of God. He goes on, he becomes very popular. My goodness, this man has got it together. He's got everything that he wants. It's totally cool. And then all of a sudden, he's out there on the porch that night, and he happens to glance down. And he sees something that he could not overcome, the temptation, because his arrogance at this point thought he could get away with it. He falls. He loses his kingdom. He loses the child. Then Samson is born. Solomon is born. Excuse me. Solomon is born and he's there. And he receives the ability to build the temple. And David goes on. He can't. He shed too much blood in war. And he did something that he should have never done. And the prophet Nathan came to him and said it. Gave him the story.
you stole that ewe lamb from that one person.
Murdered her husband. He goes on, and David gets the proper burial, and he dies, and Solomon goes on, and he backslides. He ruins everything for a while. Now listen to me, I'm taking you to a place here. Listen. But in the New Testament, David is given the testimony of a man after God's own heart. You see, friend, God looks at you finished. He doesn't look at you right now. He looks at you totally finished and complete. That testimony could have been, boy, David really messed up. He had it all together and he sleeps with a woman. Wasn't his wife. Killed her husband. There it is. But no. David has the testimony of a man after God's own heart. We have to look at this. So we see this. And let's always remember these three things now. And I'm going to try to get through this because I want you to really hear these next three things. We have this foundation I just built here. And you can understand where I'm taking you now, I hope. Is the wilderness experience, number one, is not a good place. Having no water in the wilderness is even worse. Knowing that you are in a dry and desolate place makes it so burdensome and so overwhelming that you really don't want to do anything but sit down and die. But he says no. He said, I'm going to cry out to you. What he does is he credits who God is. He brings credit to God. We always got to show our knowledge of who God is in our life. We got to acknowledge him. Don't get into the throne room of grace by saying, here I am. You better listen to me. The Bible says, if I come in here, I shall obtain. Get in there worshiping, praising him, thanking him. Start every prayer in worship. Start every day in your day worshiping God. Thanking God no matter what's going on. Thank him through your pain. Thank him through your struggles. God is there. He has not left you, and he will not allow anything to happen in your life that you are not able to handle and that somebody else has not already gone through. And the Bible says that he will make a way of escape. That way of escape is praise. Amen. Worship. That's so beautiful. Secondly, not only do you give credit to God for everything, secondly, there's the word commitment. Make a commitment today. Credit God. Make a commitment today. Make a commitment today to discipline your life in worship that will literally bring a difference into your day. Every day. Make a commitment that I'm going to praise God no matter what. Sometimes it's hard to say, God, I thank you for what I'm going through. But you know what? God knows what he's doing. All these storms across America, the church has not gone and said, well, God hates America. God dislikes America. God's mad at the church. The church is here and we shouldn't be punished. Come on now. What you have to look at it is God is there with the people in America. Even through a storm, he is still there. He is still on the throne. Nothing has dethroned God, and he is still the answer to every problem in every situation. With Harvey, with Nate, whatever all these other names were, Irma, whatever it may be that go across and hit America in these storms, God is on the throne. Whether we're being threatened by another nation, by nuclear war, God is on the throne. I saw a vision years ago of an army coming across the Bay Area, this most perfect army, diametrically set. Everything was perfect. They were, and from one end to the other, and all the way far back as I could see up to the horizon, everywhere, moving in prayer. And I said, Father, what could this be? And he said, this is the devil and his army. They are being released across of the Bay Area and throughout America. And this will not stop till my church begins to worship and to praise me and acknowledge me and understand that even this vast of an army will not defeat my promises for their life.
Amen.
And yes, it's happening. You see it happening. Things have changed so rapidly. But you know what also has changed? The amount of worship that we need to give God. When we sit down and complain, when we become Debbie Downer, Nancy Negative, when we get to the place where we begin to say the things that are not uplifting and not encouraging, but discouraging, when we look for other people to come into our garden and eat our worms with us instead of just being alive in Jesus Christ. You haven't sinned. This is not why you're going through something. You haven't lost because you have sinned. No! Life goes on. Life moves on. And God is still on the throne. And way it may be in a valley now or a wilderness there, you're going to look across that horizon one day and you're going to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory reaching down to pull you up and embrace you. Hallelujah! I know what it's like to have children that don't serve God. And as a pastor, I'm not saying it's any harder if you're not a pastor, but I'll tell you from a pastor's point of view, when you have children that you raised in church not serving God, you sit down and you look at yourself and say, where have I failed? And I realize, you know, I didn't fail. They have made a choice. And my prayer now is that God, that they would choose you. That they would choose you. One of my sons said to my other son the other day, my one son's going through a horrific time right now. And it's personal. And it's very horrific. He's sitting there. He's sitting on our couch there in Boulder Creek. And many of you have been to the living room. If not, you're always invited to come up. And you've been there. And literally, the one son who's gone through such craziness in the last 5 years looks over at the other son and says, you know what? What you need to do is you need to get Christ in your heart and everything will get better. Was there a worship going on inside my heart at that point? Oh yeah. Because he looked at me like, Dad, did I say everything right? And my mouth was... I couldn't say anything. I was just saying what I said in my mind was, keep talking, keep doing that. Yeah. I wanted to hear the next sentence. Praise God. All you need is Christ in your heart. What's that song? All you need is love. Praise God, God's love. Amen. And literally, it's there. So this commitment to make a difference in your life. Commit to praise. Commit to worship. Commit to pray every day. It's not hard. What makes it hard is your own self getting in the way of what God wants for you. The old statement, no one understands. No, they don't. No one can feel what I can feel. No, they can't. What's the answer then? God understands and God feels what you feel because whatever you're going through, God went through already. He's God. He's not just the God of favoritism. He's not just the God of healing. He's not just the God that's going to come into your life and make you feel special. He is the God of all of who you are. Of every area of your life, from the valley to the mountaintop and everything in between, to the great flourishing oasis, to the desolation of a desert. It's just that you are crying out to Him. That's what makes the difference. You're crying out to Him. And then thirdly, the condition. Not letting your surroundings and or location and feelings keep you from seeking God. Don't let it stop.
Now, Psalm 139 and 7 through 12, let me read this to you. Where shall I go from you, your spirit? This is familiar to most of you, I hope. Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I dwell at the end of the sea, even there your hand shall guide me. If your right hand shall take hold of me, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light shall be as night to me. Even the darkness is not too dark to you, but the night shines as the day, for the darkness is like light to you. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to run through some of these slides. I don't know why these slides are not being used, but I purposely want you to see these slides, please. Start at the beginning and go through these slides. My lips will praise you in your name. I will lift up my hands. My lips will praise you. For the power is made perfect in weakness. You know, we are known for what God can do for us. We have no power. We don't have the ability to be what God wants us to be without Him. Don't get ahead of God. Don't go to some place where you think, I can do this. Let me tell you something. I can't do anything. I am nothing without Christ. Amen. I can't preach. Every time I preach, in the back of my mind, I'm preaching. Wow. I pastor. I can't pastor without God. I can't evangelize without God. I can't prophesy without God. I can't interpret tongues without God. I can't be a good husband without God. I cannot be a good father without God. I cannot be a good friend without God. I cannot be a good spiritual father, mentor, life coach without God. It takes God in everything. So I refuse to say, I got this, God. No, I go, God, you got this. If you want to use me, that's cool, but you got this. I want you to know you have this. I'm in a wilderness. It's dry. You have this. That's what I do with my sons. You got them, God. I've done all I could do. I've raised them in church. They've heard me preach the gospel. They told me that Mom and I have lived a standard, and that's what they look at when they're out there in the world, that there's a standard that they can find a line back to you. I said, but God, I can't do it. You change them. Amen. You change them. Let's go to another slide here. Here's something to catch. I want to end this. There was other slides, but let's just. Here's something that I want to end this with. I found this last night, what my wife put down. I thought this was very, very great. Many times, because we're not exactly getting all we want, we fail to see all the blessings we have around us. God has given us a great, big, wonderful world. He gives us His love and provision. His table is set before us. Accept the good around you and realize He can change anything in a moment. Stop complaining and be happy. Appreciate and be graceful for all the good you've been given. Love you, Kathy Adams. She wrote back that in 2014. And when I was closing out my message last night, I just happened to go on Facebook for a moment to check some things out, and bam, the Holy Spirit put that right up there in a memory for her. I went, wow, cool, I liked it. Amen. And then the Spirit said, if you liked it, why don't you use it? I said, well, I got to get permission to maybe copyright it. I said, is it all right if I use this? She goes, yeah, go for it. Of course, I already put it in there and let her know on the way to church today I did that. So at that time, it has to be a yes, right? But I thought that really capsulizes everything for us. You know, we go through hard times. Loss. Kathy, Becky, Robin. There's been loss this summer, in these last year. We go through difficulties where Will, Alex, Ben, Andrew, us. We go through situations where there's difficult times in all the families. Shauna's had a tough 4 years. It's difficult. We all bear up underneath our own burdens, things that we've done, mistakes that we've made, troubles that come. But I want to say to you that you're not alone. I don't mean that to say that I'm there, because I'm a human being. I can only be so many places at one time. You're not alone. God's with us. He's with you. He's there no matter what. Embrace what God has given you. Let go of what God has taken. And look for God to replenish the void in your heart. Let God bless you through worship and praise. Let the Lord move deeply in your life to where all the things that's going on in your life, they will be beautiful and wholesome. If you study the Bible, in my closing remark now, if you study the Bible, you will find very readily that there are times that things happen in your life that cause you to realize how great God is in your life. There are things that happen in your life that cause you to say to God, "Where are you, God? Where are you right now? I need you now." And he doesn't say anything. In the silence of his love is the most empowered moment that you can experience. In the silence of his love is the most empowered moment that you can experience with God. Let's remember what we're about as a church. Our mission statement says this: helping people of all cultures, backgrounds, and ages discover God and become engaged in Jesus to be transformed. You see, what happens is that we go through things and we stop fulfilling our mission statement because we get bogged down with our own things. That happens, folks. That happens. But what takes you through and has you continue to focus on ministry is praise and worship, trust, and realizing that God has given you an anointing. Are you with me? Yes. To do that is very important. You see, the enemy will do all that he can. Now, I'm not saying the enemy took my brother-in-law, or took Willie, excuse me, or took Dewey. I'm not saying that, or anything else, any other devastation that things that you felt, the things that you've had to go through. I am not saying that at all. And if you heard that, you misunderstood me. God knew everything was coming before it got there. But God trusted you that you were able to maintain through it to bring others to the Lord who need him. Amen. Because he loves you and I. He cares for us. He cares for this neighborhood. He cares for our homes. And then our vision statement: we are called by God to engage our city, to give hope to the unchurched, and a place of prayer, healing, equipping, and serving. Now, I didn't use this message to bring this up. The Spirit of the Lord told me last night, "I want you to drop that in there." I said, "Huh?" He said, "Just do it. Let me take care of the rest." You see, thank you. Amen. You see, he wants us to realize that even through everything we go through, we need to stay focused on who we are as a church. Who we are as a church. We need to acknowledge him or share credit to him. We need to be able to commit to him. And we need to know what our conditions are at all times. Amen. Just like David, he's out there. He's, "Man, I've got to get to the house of God. I just want to get in there. I just want to hang out with God." I don't know if you have ever gone through stuff before, but I'm sure you have. There are times in my life where I've had to just get alone with God. In such a way that my children asked my wife, is he okay? She said, yes, he's praying. We're nervous. We're scared. I'd never heard him pray like that before. He's seeking God for what needs to happen. Because God's sending him to a dry and weary place. And where he goes, we must follow. There was a time where I made one of the biggest mistakes of my life, and I'm not going to repeat what it was, but I laid at an altar, cried out to God. God, and I screamed, it's enough, it's enough, stop it, I can't take anymore. What I'm saying is that I've never discluded God in times of trial. I've never discluded the people that I love in times of struggle. Sometimes the baths get so noisy that the clarity of the voice of God gets blurry. But I find that place. Are you with me? I find that place to take a knee before the glory of God and to ask for his help. And to praise him. My neighbors must think I'm crazy because I'm out there in the driveway in the middle of the day. My hands are up like that and they're driving by and I'm looking up into the redwoods like they're probably thinking, oh, he must see something up there. I'm worshiping. I'm out there at 3:30 in the morning sometimes with all the beautiful stars up there and I'm thanking God for the glorious sight and the beautiful stars that are acknowledging his power and he named them all and I'm thanking him. I thank him for our love for one another, our friendship for one another. I thank him for the difficulties that we go through because difficulties make us stronger. Amen.